What's up, world? You're listening to ComeCast. My name's Cody, and as always with me is Doug. Dude, what's up?
What's going on, Cody? How you doing, my man?
I am doing fan-fucking-tastic, my dude. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I gotta tell you, today was the first day, like, in ever running the ComeCast Twitter that I actually had to turn off notifications for a while. Because I tweeted this thing, it was a clip from DBZA.
Yeah.
Of Lanny Pator reading the line when Krillin gets kicked two ways a Sunday by a Ginyu.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Hello, Gohan, have you done your homework?
Have you done your homework? Because if you haven't, Chi-Chi's going to kick my ass."
Yeah, so I shared that and shouted out Lanny Pator and was like, "Hey, you know, in my opinion, best line read in DBZA." And then he wound up retweeting it, and now just the post is picking up, and it's like, damn, I know this is like not even like a fraction of the level they go through, but I wound up having to turn off notifications for a little while because my phone wound up on 1% while I was at the card store earlier.
Nice.
Oh, man. So, dude, it has been an interesting week for anime, hasn't it?
It has, man. What's been going on?
Okay, well, first off, I want to bring up some breaking news. It just dropped in the last like couple hours. A longtime favorite anime over here is called Assassination Classroom, and it is officially joining the Toonami lineup as of next Saturday, which I believe is the 29th of August, 2020, at 1 a.m. I think that's pretty cool. What do you think about that?
I think that's very cool. I like that they're starting to rotate in some more animes that are really big and popular, trying to broaden them into the American society.
Yeah, it's cool because, I mean, you know, they already have enough, like, staple shows that are going to be long-running, like Shippuden especially, because they are nowhere near done airing Naruto Shippuden on Toonami. No. Like, they're going to be airing that show probably for the next 4 years at the rate they're going.
Yeah, probably.
So, yeah, it's cool to see it added to the lineup. I'll be honest, I've never really watched Assassination Classroom. My only real experience with it is playing some of the characters on some video games. Mm-hmm. But I know it's a very beloved anime. A lot of people really like it. A bunch of people that I respect have recommended it to me. I just have never really sat down.
Yeah. I've seen, I think, about 7 or 8 episodes of it. And what I saw of it, I liked. But at the time, I was binging a few other animes that were kind of more taking up my focus. So I don't really recall all too much.
Yeah, so I mean, honestly, the fact that it's going on Toonami, it might be a good chance for me to check it out, because I mean, 1 a.m., I'm getting off work around 11, you know, Saturday night, and I could always try to tune into Toonami. I'm sure there's some kind of online thing where you can watch it, like, legally and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is going to go right into the next thing I want to talk about, which was probably the biggest development in the anime community of the week, and it happened on Saturday. The long-running illegal piracy website Kiss Anime and its companion site Kiss Manga have officially been taken down as of Saturday, last Saturday. What do you feel about that, man?
It's really crazy. It's I know it's been trying to happen for a while. They've been trying to remove that. I think it's pretty huge for the anime and manga scene, just in the fact that it's going to make it the easiest way to say not illegally obtained, I guess, is right. Not the right way to say it, but I think you get what I mean.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, you know, I don't think anyone can hold their hand up and say that they're not guilty of occasionally using those kind of sites. You know, because, I mean, you know, I don't think any of us are, but it's one of those things where, at the end of the day, if you want to be a part of the anime community and you really want to support these shows, I mean, you just got to find a way to do it legally. Now, I understand there's a section of the community that says, well, there are certain shows, especially like old school classic anime, that are not legally available. So a site like Kiss Anime was the only place where they could get it. Or read a manga that necessarily hasn't been released officially over here and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so I get that argument, but at the same time, I think that most streaming sites have been pretty accommodating. But that kind of segues into the next thing, because in light of Kiss Anime going down, there was an announcement that 30 of Japan's top animation studios were coming together and launching a YouTube channel. And the whole concept behind the channel is that they are going to release, over a period of time, up to 3,000 classic anime titles. The channel's called Anime Log, and some of their launch titles are such classics as Blackjack, Future Boy Conan, and Astro Boy. I think it's the 1980 remake of Astro Boy. I don't think it's necessarily like the original, but I do remember seeing that show at some point. So it seems like they're starting to, like, these companies are starting to hear, like, what the fans are saying. So they're like, okay, we hear you, so here's our compromise. You're not going to have Kiss Anime anymore, but here's a way, over time, we're going to release these classic shows on this platform. What do you think about that? I mean, because they're leaving a lot of money on the table, not putting it up on a paid platform.
I think it's really smart. I think over time, if you have the access to those in that manner, it could potentially build up the market for those shows to make a comeback in some format. So I think in the long run, as far as making money off them, I think it's smart. I think they'll be able to capitalize that on that in the future. But also, I just think it's really cool that they're making it accessible for things that we haven't even seen over here in the States. Like, I think I remember you telling me that they were talking about bringing over Dr. Slump.
Yeah, that's a title that I've heard has been thrown out there. And that's the thing. As of right now, this is a Japan-only thing.
Yeah.
I guess I probably should have led with that, but right now, they're only doing this in Japan, but the plan is, over time, to release official English subs and maybe even eventually dubs of these shows. So I think depending on how it goes over in Japan, we'll see how it does here. So if you're in the Japan area, or even if you're not in the Japan area, if you want to follow what's going on with this channel, they have a Twitter handle. It's at AnimeLogTokyo. You can follow it there. I'm sure they'll have some kind of updates as this thing goes on, how it's going to go, and where you can see an official U.S. release for it here, or worldwide release, depending on where you're listening. But I think it's cool, man. Like you said, I mean, it's a fair compromise if you're going to take down something that was making it easier for people to get into the shows. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of the big arguments with the illegal downloading is, or illegal streaming, whatever you call it, is that, oh, well, it's just so much easier than to go get it legally.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you see these companies doing everything they can to make it easily accessible. So it's like, you know what, you don't have to do it illegally anymore. And I think that's great. That's only going to make the community stronger as a whole.
Yeah, I think the overall blanket statement is, as we always say and encourage, support the official release.
Always support the official release, man. Illegal downloading, streaming, pirating. Let's put a stop to it. You know, let's just make sure that this great art form that we all love is able to continue. So, I think we have jibber-jabbered long enough for X amount of minutes on, you know, some pretty fun bullshit, but I think it's about time we get to the meat of this show, the reason people tune in.
Naruto Shippuden.
Always Naruto Shippuden. Maybe one day. Well, I think that's inevitable. We will have to cover it at some point, but that's somewhere down the road. That's
future Cody and Doug's problem.
Yeah, fuck those guys. Oh, man. Anyway, getting back into our Namek arc discussion on Dragon Ball Z, this is part two, and we are getting deep into the Ginyu arc. So we pick up right where we left off in the last one. Vegeta.
Exactly, where Gohan got his head blown off and Krillin has Frieza by the tail, right?
Whoa, you jumped way ahead, sir. Like several chapters ahead, although that might be fanfic that you're thinking of.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
No spoilers, though, because no one's ever seen this show, right, that listens to this.
Exactly. Spoilers.
So picking up where we left off, Vegeta had just finally broken down and asked Gohan and Krillin for help because Guru had let them in on the fact that 5 huge power levels were approaching the planet, and Vegeta knew who they were right away. They were this group called the Ginyu Force. Now, I want to get back into Vegeta asking for help real quick, because we talked about it in the last episode, and I think the way that we kind of pushed it off was, oh, well, you know, how humbling is that of Vegeta? How, you know, how much of a character thing could this be for him? Well, I don't know if we mentioned it in the last episode, but bear in mind, the extent of Vegeta asking for their help is that, hey, help me gather the Dragon Ball so we can wish for immortality, because that's the only chance we have here.
Yeah.
So it's not really asking for their help to, like, help everybody. It's just to help himself, okay? So I looking in back in hindsight, I don't think it's much of a character growth.
Like a teenth.
Like a teenth? I mean, how much of a percentage is that?
A teenth, man. I don't know.
Anyway, so next thing we see is these five pods landing on the planet. And out comes this group, the Ginyu Force. So let's see if we can try to describe the Ginyu Force to you real quick. They are five individuals, each of them a different color, and all of them have unique abilities. I'm not saying that it's like ripped off from anything, but...
Da, 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 da. Captain Planet.
Exactly. So yeah, we got this group of five. We're going to start talking about Goldo. Goldo is this tiny little... he can't be any bigger than maybe 3 foot tall. Green, kind of a chubbier alien. He's got multiple eyes. Then we got this big macho man Randy Savage, maybe even Jesse the Body Ventura built motherfucker, with a red mohawk called Raccoon.
And it rhymes with doom.
And you're gonna be hurting all too soon. I think Raccoon is everyone's favorite Ginyu member.
I don't know. I like the snarkiness of the Australian.
Yeah, so moving on to Jace. This dude is red with white hair and for some inexplicable reason speaks with an Australian accent.
Is he red or does he just have like a really, really bad spray tan?
I mean, I feel like he's alien. I feel like he's got to be red. I just want to believe that he is red and that's not a sunburn. Otherwise, that'd be really boring. And then we got Birder, who's about the size of Raccoon. He's big, blue, bald alien.
He's fast.
Really fast. And he kind of looks like a vampire, which I think is pretty neat. And then leading the charge is this guy called Captain Ginyu. He's purple, got horns on his side, and we don't know much about him going in.
But he looks like a penis with a Prince Albert.
Yeah. Oh, man. So we reference Team Four Star all the time, but sometimes they get it right on. Like, there's one point when... a certain character is, well, when Goku's fighting him, I'll just say it. When Goku's fighting him later and he goes, you're nothing but a big, that thing Chi-Chi keeps in her drawer. I mean, damn. I mean, when you're right, you're right. You know what I mean? So what's your take on like just the design of these characters? What do you think about them?
I think they look cool. I definitely think they were intended to look like laughably threatening.
Yeah, like maybe there's like, okay, these guys are goofy, but the fact that they're so goofy means there has to be something more to it.
Mm-hmm.
So they arrive on the planet, and at this point, Krillin, Gohan, and Vegeta are on the same page. They're like, okay, we'll help you. So they go to gather they go to get a Dragon Ball from Bulma to pair it with the ones that Vegeta already has, thus uniting all seven Dragon Balls. So they get them, and just as they do, the Ginyus show up.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, we should also mention that when the Ginyus did show up, they brought new scouters, yes, as the scouters were destroyed in the last part.
Yeah, which they were new versions as well.
Yeah, they were like the updated models. Ginyu takes the Dragon Balls, and he says, I'm going to take these back to Frieza, and I'm just going to let my men take care of the rest of you. So they do rock, paper, scissors to figure out who's going to get to be the ones to kill these guys. And it winds up being Goldo that gets to take on Gohan and Krillin. Now, Goldo has a... It's funny because everyone kind of thinks of Goldo like in the canon as a really like joke, one-note character. But as far as his abilities, Goldo, in theory, could be really threatening because what he can do is he controls time.
Yeah, he's kind of got like a time skip ability, doesn't he?
It's not so much a time skip as a time pause. Like he holds his breath and time stops for however long he holds his breath. And he can just do whatever he wants in that time. And so he keeps getting Krillin and Gohan at every single turn. And it's really demoralizing, I'm not going to lie, having seen Krillin and Gohan just go through like these big power-ups in the last part. So to see that that just winds up not meaning diddly dick in the long run is just a little disheartening, don't you think?
Themes. What?
It's just a bit disheartening that, you know, Gohan and Krillin's new abilities just wind up being wasted, right?
Themes, bro.
So, Goldo gets really close to killing these guys at a couple different points.
Yeah, he does.
Ultimately, Vegeta just winds up getting sick of it and goes, nope, and just cuts his head off with his hand.
Yeah.
That was badass.
Yeah, which definitely speaks that though we know that Krillin and Gohan have gotten stronger, Vegeta is still far outclassed them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think Vegeta even mentioned in the last part when Gohan's like, I'm now as strong as you were when we first met. And Vegeta's like, man, you're still weak compared to me because Zenkai Boost.
Yeah.
Might be the most broken ability in Dragon Ball, honestly.
It might be the most broken ability in anime.
It might be. Yeah, so Vegeta beheads fucking Goldo and then blows his head up.
Yeah.
Like, insult to injury.
So brutal.
So next up is Raccoon. And I gotta say, Raccoon is one of my favorite as far as like his fighting, because he just seems to have so much fun while he's fighting. You know what I mean?
I think he's your favorite because he reminds you of wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, and the Ginyu Force as a whole reminds me a lot of things from my childhood. A lot of wrestling, a lot of Power Rangers, a lot of just a lot of goofy TV shows that were around back then.
Yeah,
and so that's why I think I have a particular fondness for this arc. So it winds up being Raccoon versus Vegeta, and this is one of the better fights of this arc. Like, there's quite a few like decent fights in this arc, but I think this one holds up on its own because it's kind of back and forth for the most part. Vegeta, I mean, even though Vegeta winds up exerting a lot more energy than Raccoon does and ultimately winds up getting his ass handed to him, it's still a good showing, and it kind of shows us a good point of view of where Vegeta is at this point.
Yeah, it shows. Yeah, it definitely gives a level cap in them to grow, because you know that the next guy to fight is going to be stronger than Raccoon.
Oh, yeah. And I love, like, linear stuff like that. I mean, it's super simple, but sometimes simple storytelling is really good. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think it's just a staple of anime. Any anime you watch, Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Black Clover, there's always who's the next big bad? There's always a one-up.
Oh, yeah. There's always something else over the hill to look forward to, and that's just something. But it's really cool to see him just like, especially in a situation like this where it's all in a line. Like, okay, now we know once we beat this guy, we're going to have to go through these other two guys. And after we go through these other two guys, we're going to have to go through the purple guy. And the purple guy is probably the strongest because he went off by himself.
Yeah. Gauntlets are always the best to watch. They're horrible to be a part of.
Yeah. But ultimately, even though the fight did wind up being back and forth for a while, Vegeta ultimately winds up just getting destroyed. Like... And then Vegeta is all but ready to give up, and Raccoon's charging his attack that he calls the Eraser Gun. And out of nowhere, Krillin and Gohan jump in and save Vegeta. Hmm. And I think this speaks a lot to like how much Krillin and Gohan have grown as characters, to be able to look past their personal feelings for Vegeta and be like, look, we need him, so we need to jump in here. And put themselves at risk, knowing there's no way they're going to be able to match up to this guy. But even so, they help Vegeta, and then they try to square up to him. Mm-hmm. Krillin winds up getting knocked out right away, which pretty much references the line that I talked about earlier that Lanny from Team 4 Star did. And Gohan gets really mad at this and decides he's going to try to fight Raccoon, and he does a little better than Krillin does, but ultimately, he winds up with his neck broken. Like, mm-hmm. Literally, like, it's in the show, just clean snap.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this close. You guys can't see me because this is a podcast, but like half a centimeter close to death when out of nowhere.
Dun, 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 dun.
A capsule corp ship lands on the planet, which can only mean one thing. Yajirobe's here to save the day again.
Yeah. What's up, guys?
Bean Daddy on the case. No, so Capsule Corp ship lands, and out comes Goku fresh off his training at 100 times normal gravity, ready to whoop some ass.
Whoop ass.
So he immediately, with Sensu beans in tow, senses out where all the action is, and immediately gets to the battlefield. Just Kaioken's it up and says, I'm coming, and goes. And he gets there, and everyone's stunned. Like all the Ginyus that are there are stunned. They're like, what's going on?
Who the fuck is this?
And he's not saying a word to any of them. He immediately goes to Gohan and gives him a Sensu Bean, heals him. Mm-hmm. Immediately goes to Krillin, gives him a Sensu Bean, and heals him. And then gives one to Vegeta.
His best buddy.
Yeah. I think this is another great showing for Goku's character at this point, to be able, again, to look past all the differences that he and Vegeta have at this point and give him a Sensu, because he knows that he's going to be valuable in the battle ahead.
Yeah, exactly. It comes down to Kakarot knows that he has to have a formidable ally, and that's only going to come from Vegeta.
Yeah. And so, at this point, Raccoon's irate, like, hey, we're having a fight here. What are you doing? To which he's like, I'll square up to you now. And Goku's like, okay. And so Raccoon decides he's going to charge his ultimate attack. I'm going to take you out in one strike. And starts charging an attack, does this ultra cool pose, and then, boom! Goku just one shot to the abdomen, done. Just done. He doesn't kill him, but Raccoon is effectively out of this fight. What did you think of that? Like, here comes Goku, and we know, okay, here comes Goku. He's going to wind up being the guy that even the odds. But man, one punch.
This right here is where it sets up Vegeta always trailing Goku.
Yeah,
and right here when Goku shows up and one shots Raccoon, a guy that Vegeta struggled for a good bit to still get his ass handed to him. It just shows that Goku has far outpassed Vegeta.
Yeah. And so Birder and Jace are effectively freaked out at this point. They're like, oh man, well, he's only reading a power level of 5,000. We can still take him. So they both decide to double team him. And I actually really like, on Twitter earlier, might have been a few days ago, I threw up and asked people who's your favorite Ginyu? And Raccoon was a popular answer, but I contend that I really like Birder and Jace as a unit. Because together, even though they don't stand like a feather's chance in a windstorm against Goku, it's still cool to like, because it's just another great chance to watch Goku show off everything that he's gotten from that 100 times gravity training.
Oh, yeah.
So they're just having a rough time with him. They wind up doing this big combo attack. Which is pretty impressive, but ultimately just winds up not working out for him. Goku takes out Birder in a flash. Mm-hmm. And again, doesn't kill him, you know, which just speaks to DBZ Goku.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of weird after seeing Dragon Ball OG how harsh of a turn that is for him.
Yeah. So Jace is obviously just like distraught. Like, okay, it's just me and the captain now. So he runs off. He's like, I'm going to get the captain. And so, as he flies off, Goku talks to everybody, just gets up to speed on what's going on, and this is the first time that we get reference to something that is going to wind up being huge later. Vegeta is just, like, all kinds of confused. He's like, I don't understand. Kakarot is so much more powerful than he was when we fought on Earth. Could he be the legendary Super Saiyan?
He has done it.
He has become the legend.
Have we been here before? I feel like we've been here before.
But Goku finally just develops a plan. He says, okay, we're going to send Gohan and Krillin off to find the Dragon Balls, and Vegeta and I are going to take care of Jace and Captain Ginyu when he brings them. And it's about this time that Vegeta, you know, as Gohan and Krillin go off, it clicks in Vegeta's head. He's like, oh, wait a minute. Frieza's not at his ship because, oh, something we totally skipped over. There's this whole side scene with Frieza and Captain Ginyu. They have all 7 Dragon Balls. And Frieza tries to make his wish for immortality on the Dragon Balls.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work. And he's all confused as to why, and then it clicks in his head. He's like, wait a minute. That older Namekian that gave me the Dragon Ball, he said, well, you're not going to be able to make your wish anyway. And it clicks in his head. Maybe it's something that can only be, be applied by the Namekians. And so he gets irate at first because he's like, well, I killed them all, so what the fuck? And then he checks the scouter and detects that there are a couple Namekians left, which, of course, are Dende, Nail, and Guru. And he goes off and he finds them. Dende winds up passing him on the way because Guru unlocks Dende's ability and tells him, I need you to go help the Earthlings use the Dragon Balls because now Dende knows how to use them. Mm-hmm. So Frieza arrives, and to stop him from killing Guru, because that's what he's going to do, Nail says, I'm going to take you to the ancient battleground of my people, and we're going to settle this. So they go off, and Dende goes to try to find the others. While all this is going on, it clicks in Vegeta's head. He's like, wait a minute. So Frieza's not at the ship. Jace and Ginyu are on their way here, and they wind up arriving. And so that means the Dragon Balls are unguarded. So he sets up with Goku. He's like, yeah, we're going to do this, Kakarot. I'm right behind you. And then right when Ginyu and Jace show up,
bye,
and go straight for the Dragon Balls, which is such a Vegeta move at this point. You know what I mean?
I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. And so Ginyu wants to square up with Goku. And of course, Goku's always down for a good scrap. And he goes, yeah, sure, we'll do it. But Ginyu goes, okay, so I want to see the full extent of your power. I want you to power up to 100% so I can see where you're at. And Goku's like, okay. Does a big charge and lets Ginyu get it on his scouter. And if I remember correctly, the power level is over 100,000. Mm-hmm. Where Ginyu at this point is at like 50 some odd thousand, I think. And so he's freaked out. And so they start fighting, and then he realizes, oh man, I'm just not going to stack up to this guy. Mm-hmm. So Ginyu goes, I have an idea. Domes himself in the chest. Can you dome your chest? Is that a thing?
It's such an awesome way to say it. No, that is not the... Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Domed him in the chest. Himself in the chest. And goes, change now! And at this point, our heroes might be fucked because Ginyu and Goku have changed bodies. And so Ginyu in Goku's body and Jace leave Goku in Ginyu's body.
And Ginyu's domed to the chest body.
Leaves him for dead, and they go back to Frieza's ship. And they arrive right when Krillin and Gohan find the Dragon Balls. And they're getting ready to try to make their wish. And, of course, they think it's Goku, so they're like, hey, Goku, how you doing? And Goku just attacks him. Mm. And it's like, damn. Talk about a tall order. So Ginyu in Goku's body starts fighting against Gohan and Krillin. And he is so confused because he's like, I don't understand. This body is so much more powerful. Goku arrives on the scene and he hears all this and he goes, well, it's because you don't know how to access my body's power. Mm. So it's useless to you. And at this point, Jace is like, oh, shit, what's going to happen? And
I thought Vegeta said that.
Well, hang on. Jace says it. But as Jace is saying that, Vegeta pops up on him and goes, hey, I got you.
Forgot about me, did ya?
And winds up just laying bricks on Jace, man. Ultimately winds up destroying him. So Ginyu sees this and he's like, okay, well, I'm just going to go after Vegeta then. So... But Vegeta isn't having any of this, so he's like, he sees a great opportunity here. He's like, I can kill Ginyu and Kakarot in one thing. Yeah. Boom. So he starts fighting Ginyu, and ultimately Ginyu winds up deciding, I'm just going to trade bodies with Vegeta now. And so he goes to do it, and Goku in Ginyu's body jumps in the way, and they trade back. Mm-hmm. So Ginyu's back in his body. He's like, oh, screw it. And he goes for Vegeta again. And Goku, who's been pretty beaten up while Ginyu is in his body, is just laying there, gets a frog in his hand. Like a frog just lands in his hand and he goes, oh, hey. And just throws it. Talk about the talk about another super convenient plot twist, man. Just here it is, boom.
Random frog just hopping in through the fucking prairie.
Yeah. And so the frog intercepts the blast just as Vegeta's diving down to do one last attack on him and saves Vegeta's ass. And now Ginyu has been turned into a frog, never to be heard from again, ever. Not even in filler.
I can't wait to talk about that in like 5 years.
I know. And so with the battle won, Vegeta's kind of ready at this point to kind of like turn tail on the Alliance. But then Goku reminds him like, hey, look, you're going to need us because Frieza's probably going to want to fight you.
Yeah.
He's like, you're going to need us for that fight. To which Vegeta's like, you know what? Fine. You're right. So he takes Goku into Frieza's ship and puts him in one of the healing pods. And he's like, okay, well, he's going to need some time to heal. And Vegeta's just kind of acknowledging that he's kind of tired. So that he decides he's going to take a nap. He gifts Gohan and Vegeta some armor, some Frieza armor, Saiyan-style armor.
Which, what did you think of seeing them in Saiyan armor?
I think it's a cool look, especially on Krillin. I don't know, for some reason, the armor look really worked for Krillin.
Yeah, the armor on Krillin makes him look a little more badass.
I agree. So Vegeta decides he's going to take a nap while Goku's healing, and he leaves Gohan and Krillin in charge of just, you know, dealing with everything. Mm. And it's about this time they're outside keeping watch, and Dende shows up and explains to them what happened. Guru unlocked his potential, and now he can help them make their wish on the Dragon Balls. Mm-hmm. So they get the bright idea that, you know what, we're going to take these Dragon Balls away from the ship, and we're going to make our wish. Because at this point, they realize they're going to have 3 wishes on the Dragon Balls.
Yeah.
And we're just going to use them all and not tell Vegeta. Great plan, guys. And I think that is where we are going to cut things off today.
Alrighty.
So, overall, man, what did you think of this arc? I mean, it doesn't take place over a shit ton of episodes, but man, they fit a lot into it.
I always love the little mini Ginyu arc of the Namek arc series. It's so much fun. There's so many fun little fights packed into those few episodes, and they're so well done, and the voice acting is such on point. I really love it.
I think it's part of the reason that the Namek arc is looked back so as such like a turning point for the series, because, I mean, it's a good chunk of the series, the Namek arc. I'd say at least a solid third of the series is the Namek arc by itself.
Oh, most definitely.
And it's great to see them take that chunk of time and use it to tell all these different stories. Because you're on a new planet. You're in an environment that normally you wouldn't even get to see anything like this when they're on Earth.
Yeah, they do a really good job of fleshing out scenes for characters that aren't just Goku.
Yeah, man. And I don't know. I love the Ginyu arc as well, man. I mean, they call it the Ginyu arc, but I consider it all the Namek arc, even though it's kind of broken up in different things. You know, you have the Namek arc, the Ginyu arc, the Frieza arc. I consider it all blanket the Namek arc.
Yeah.
But within that arc, you get to tell so many fun little stories.
So you might have said it earlier, but out of all of the Ginyu fights, which one is your favorite?
Out of all of them, Vegeta Raccoon.
Okay.
I mean, there's a couple other really good ones. The brief sparring match between Ginyu and Goku was entertaining. It was fun to see Gohan try to fight Ginyu in Goku's body. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just kind of fun to see him try to fight essentially his dad.
Yeah, that's got to be a little traumatizing. Yeah, I mean, he's actually trying to kill you.
Yeah, because he's like, what, 5-6 years old at this point?
Something like that, yeah.
And it's like, damn, you know, this little kid has been through so much, but he handles it like a champ. That's something else that's really cool is it. You see it all the way through the series, but you really get to see so much growth for Gohan in this arc. I mean, because even by the end of the Saiyan arc, he's still pretty much a novice when it comes to fighting. But here he is on another planet, no one really to protect him. He's got Krillin, but they're more or less equals. Yeah. Even though Gohan's a bit above him, but
yeah, Krillin's definitely like more wise, but as far as power levels, if Gohan's not stronger, they're pretty much even.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things where it's just cool to see him really come into his own, and he has so much more showings in the next part that we're going to discuss. But just to see the start of it here, and man, the brutality. That's another thing about this arc. There were some downright brutal moments. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, heads getting chopped off, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the beheading of Goldo and him getting blown up. The most brutal for me, though, is Raccoon snapping Gohan's neck.
Yeah, I actually had forgot about that.
Yeah, because it's crazy, because in the original cut of Z, it's much more censored. Like, you see him break his neck, but it's not really all that gory. In the uncut version that's on the Funimation app for $4.99 a month, it's the uncut version, and, you know, there's blood. He's covered in blood, and he's twitching and stuff. I mean, it is so brutal to see this happen to such a little child.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of a callback to the San arc in that, you know, things are just at their most desperate and they need Goku to show up, and he does right when they need him. Oh, yeah. And when he does show up, it is just so rewarding. Again, just like in the San arc.
It's very cathartic and very triumphant.
Yeah, just to see him one-shot a bunch of these guys and just have no trouble whatsoever. And he wouldn't have even had trouble with Ginyu had he not done the whole body change thing.
It would have been over so soon.
Yeah, but that body change thing, that was a fun twist because, yeah. I mean, it created a lot of, again, that Gohan Goku mini fight, mm-hmm. Vegeta kind of getting a little bit of a rematch and a little bit of revenge from the beating he got from Goku in the Saiyan arc.
Yeah, I bet that felt good for him to a degree.
Yeah, and then it ending with the Ginyu frog. I really like that. Another cool thing is that Vegeta, in a way, kind of gets more points than Goku in here in terms of actual body count. Because while Goku really hurts the Ginyu guys, he doesn't kill any of them. Mm-hmm. Vegeta kills every member of the Ginyu Force, with the exception of Ginyu, who they wind up just letting go because what's he going to do as a frog?
Yeah, he's a frog.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think of that? Like, do you think they did that as a way to kind of show like the differentiation between the two characters at that point?
Oh, absolutely. They definitely wanted to show that Goku was the type of hero that would give people a second chance, whereas Vegeta was very much the person that was, you cross him, there's no second chances, that's it.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's just fun. Like, this arc created so many opportunities to really dig deep into some of the characters.
Yeah, it really sets a good baseline though for where Vegeta is going.
And it sets up, again, you know, going back to setting up the next threat. It sets up the next threat very clearly because now there's no one left but Frieza.
Oh yeah.
So, and even though you kind of knew from the beginning that the final fight had to be Frieza.
Oh, absolutely.
But now we know that that's coming, and everything up to this is now just building anticipation for that. It's like, because eventually you know he's going to come back to that ship.
Yeah, so with that said, expect our Frieza talk.
Yep, next week we are going to get into part 3 of our Namek discussion, where we are going to cover the first part of the Frieza fight. Everything that happens before Goku winds up getting out of the healing pod, because, I mean, obviously he's going to get out of the healing pod.
Absolutely.
So everything that we're going to talk about next week is everyone else versus Frieza, which I'm really looking forward to getting into, because that's another one of my favorite parts of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be epic to talk about. So, Doug, any final thoughts?
You know what? I do have one more thing I want to throw in. So I started playing Magic the Gathering a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, man, I got to tell you, as a lifelong Yu-Gi-Oh guy, I always thought that Magic was just going to be one of those games that I'd never get into.
Yeah.
It's actually not too bad.
Yeah. I know everybody in the house plays it. I have not gotten into it yet, though.
Yeah, so be looking for some Magic the Gathering discussions in the future, because I'm sure that at some point we're both going to get wormholed in and talking about that. But no, I'm feeling good, man. Yeah, it's been a great show. I'm going to get right on editing this thing to get it released, and then I pre-ordered the new Samurai Jack game that drops at midnight, so I think I will be editing while that downloads, and then once I'm done, I'm going to relive my childhood a bit.
Oh yeah.
Expect a little mini review of that game on next week's episode.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that.
So with that, guys, I think we are going to go ahead and sign off. We want to thank you guys so much for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Kamecast Media. You can find me on Twitter at Burnout Doug.
You can follow me at Twitter at Kame_code.
Yeah, and you can find the podcast on all streaming platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Radio, whatever it's called. You can find us on any of those. I'm going to drop a link here soon. That's going to make it a lot easier for you guys to leave reviews if you want to. But, man, review, man. Let us know how much you like the show. Or even if you don't like the show, let us know, because we're always looking to improve. But yeah, follow us on all social media. Download the show wherever you can. We want to thank you guys so much for listening. I've been Doug Keeney.
I'm Cody Taylor.
And this is Kamecast. Bye-bye.
Peace.